You say, every time you breathe, that name is Yahweh.
Inhale, exhale, inhale, we call your name.
just breathe for a second. Breathe him in. Breathe him in. Breathe him in. With every breath that we breathe, the name we will sing is Yahweh. Yahweh. We all say Yahweh. Yahweh. So we say, inhale, exhale.
sing is Yahweh. Yahweh. Can you take a moment and just breathe? You don't have to do anything crazy. You don't have to.
Amen, amen, and amen. Yahweh God, we thank you, Lord. Our first breath when we come into the earth, is your name. And our last sigh when we go out of the earth is your name. You are the one that keeps us breathing in and out. What a miracle you've created in us, God. We are so grateful to you for who you are and for what you're doing. And so we're here to celebrate you, God, again today, with our beautiful testimonies and this beautiful faith that you're building in each one of us to believe you for the goodness of who you are. So I feel very led to share first. This one testimony came back to me. I feel I need to share it. My mom is a home health care nurse. And this is several years back. She was looking for a job for months and months. She couldn't find a job and her bills were piling up. And finally she got this job and it took a while. It was like 3 months. So she was trying to like catch up on her bills and stuff when she got the job. And so she went in there. It was a small facility. Not a lot of patients, probably like 20, a 20-bed facility. It was small. And so she was there. I don't even think it was a week yet. And she had met this little old lady that she would read to every day. Lady was a Christian lady. So she had her Bible there and, you know, she was just always in bed, drowsy, half asleep, like she seemed heavily medicated. And so she would go to her every day and the woman would say, oh, can you read my Bible for me? And she was like, yes. And she would read the Bible for this lady. So then a few days in, the woman said to her, I feel like you're a Christian woman too, aren't you? So she said, yes, I'm a Christian too. And she says, okay. I think it is you. I have been praying here for God to send somebody, an angel, to come and save us. So she was like, okay. So she said, yes, and I think it is you. You are the person that God has sent here to save us. So she was like, no, you know, Jesus is the savior. And she says, no, it's you. You're the one. So she would be going in and out of consciousness. So she would go every day and read to this woman. And so she started to notice that a couple of the ladies there, the nurses that were there, would always go into this one room. And every time they would go into the room, they would lock the door behind them and they would come out of the room and they would lock the door. And it was this constant keys to go in and out of this one room. They wouldn't just leave the room open. They would have a key to open it and have a key to close it. And she was thinking to herself, what in the world is in that room that is like under lock and key? It's never left open. So one day, the little old lady, that same one, was a little bit more alert. So she was outside with her, out in the yard. And as she's sitting there with her, reading the Bible, the woman said to her, Don't forget us in here, you know. You're here to help us. So she was like, yes, I know. I love this job. She says, no, no, really. You are the one that's going to help us. God sent you in here to help us. So she said at that moment, because she seemed a little bit more alert, she kind of felt like there was something else going on there that she didn't know, but it wasn't right, whatever it was. And that's what the woman was hinting at. So she decided that she needed to go inside of that room because whatever it was in the room. So somehow it was open one day. One of the other ladies was in there, was talking to her. So she walked into the room and she saw all the files, all of their files were in there of the patients. And the lady was asking her to help her with some of the files and stuff. Well, as she's in there, she starts to, like, you know, look at the files and stuff. And so she's seeing the medications that they're on and different charts. And then she starts to put it all together that, you know, in order for them to get the state funding that they were getting, they had to fill those beds. So every time anyone would come in from the state to do inspection, this is what they were doing, drugging up the old people to fill the beds, even when they didn't need to be. They were doing it to get money. They would give them drugs and put them in the beds and fill the beds so that it would look like, oh no, we have these people that need all this stuff. You need to send us more money. Yeah, horrific stuff. So when my mom found that out, oh my gosh. She said she was leaving. And the day she found out, when she finally put it together, and she was leaving, and the old woman grabbed onto her hand and said to her, you are here to help us. God told me you are here to help us, and I've been praying for this. You're my angel. And she left and came to my house that day, and she was like, oh my gosh. I just got this job. I've been looking for months. And I just got this job. And this is what's going on here. I'm like, You know what you have to do. So, you know, she was in tears crying because she was like, this woman is a Christian and she's been praying and praying and praying and praying for God to send someone to help them. And I said to her, the other two nurses that are there, do they know? So she said, they have to know. They have to know, but they would just rather sit there and take the money instead of helping and saying, you can't do this to these people. So the following day was her day off. The day after she found out was her day off. And she drove over there, but she didn't go to the facility. She stayed outside the facility across the road and called the State Department and reported them. Oh my gosh. And she's basically sat across the room and watched as the state came in, shut down everything, and transported those people out of that place. So she was basically the answer to some little old lady's prayer that she had been praying for months. And that woman had been in there for almost a year, that old woman. She's been praying all this time. Can't imagine what that feels like to be going through that and have other people there know what's happening to you and they're not doing anything about it because of money. So I just wanted to share that testimony with you all. Sometimes you are the answer to the prayer. Okay. How about Bonnie? Can we hear from Bonnie today? Bonnie, want to share something?
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Hi.
good morning, all. Good morning from India. It's 4:30 a.m., 4:54 a.m., and I'm so blessed to share. Well, I've been one of the most needy of people, you know, I feel that way. One of the most, what do you say, most wayward sheep from the flock of the Lord. But He is always provided, protected, blessed, and even anointed me. Not that any one of us would be less. There's no favorite, there's no my sweet child. We all are favorites. He would leave the 99 for you or me if we would get wayward. And He would anoint our heads with oil so that we would not be confused with those insects that lead us off. Like how we sometimes are. But yes, one small yet huge testimony I'd like to share of how He provided from nothing to such a lot for my parents. I'll read it out. God provided, and how. We are four, Dad, Mummy, and we two sisters, until we both married off. In India, girls cannot really support parents out of some strange tradition. Once married off, we belong to the other home and so do our finances. But now working girls do support and take care of their, like we did. Mom is a housewife and Dad was a retired waiter. And when we were with them, me and my sister, living with them before our marriages, we just scraped living a dignified life, which meant no savings for them to live on after retirement. Of course, we pooled in and took care of them because we worked even after marriage, and that's how they managed. Then, in Jan, 2 years back, Dad had a heart attack. And we had to pool in our savings to pay his bills. In India, we pay huge hospital bills if we are not insured. If we don't have the proper health insurance. We paid and we felt a huge pinch. And during his hospital stay, he was diagnosed with a growth in his kidney. And that was taken off. Praise Jesus, it was not malignant. We were worried about how to keep going with all these mounting bills. And decided to reapply for the USC 1400, which Dad's brother had left three of us in his post office savings account. When he died a bachelor. India is a hub of red tape, a hub bureaucracy, and we have to do a lot of documentation. And finally, post the office pass last year, things moved so fast, and we got it after a huge delay. And because of the delay, the amount had grown to USD 7,400. Praise Jesus. No more depending on us girls for small or big things. God had blessed our parents through the divorcing we did on the fast for something that we couldn't imagine. Praise you, Abba. You are provider. Not done here yet. And out of the blue, Mum's sister, who had married a Muslim and was separated from the family, passed away, leaving Mum with another son of around USD 2,500. Mom had the chance to give it the word, and we believe she passed safe. They never had anything and were always on what we gave them, and now they had their own money. We all feel that Abba provided. And yes, we did divorce a lot. That paved the way for it all. Thank you, MOP. Thank you, Nicole. I still tear up when I read this, when I think of it. Yes, lilies bloom from the arid desert in our life. And after that, I have not missed a single of this fast, not a single fast, because every fast, every single interaction, every single event, even this Sukkot celebration, I'm sure is going to reap a huge harvest beyond our imagination, my friends, beyond our imagination. So be blessed. You are one of the sheep of the pasture of our Lord. And yes, He loves us, all of us, all of us. No sweet child, no favoritism. He loves us. Just go wayward and see how He gets you into the flock. Praise You, my Jesus. Praise You, Abba. I love you all. Amen.
Amen. Is that your alarm telling you to wake up?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yesterday, so I couldn't funny. Wake up. I don't know why.
It's okay.
Good morning again.
Good morning. That's wonderful. Thank you for your beautiful testimony.
Okay. Thank you, Nicole.
Yes. So now I'm going to ask Harold to share, or any man that listens to these recordings is going to think that this, the whole ministry is just women. And it's not. Wait, next year we do Sukkot, I will be emailing the men and telling them you are going to be on here sharing a testimony. Can you share one with us, Harold?
Yeah, I guess I can. Just put my mind together. So, okay. Let's see. So I want to share, it's almost something similar to what you shared, and it's the testimony that you talked about working in a home. So it's not really about me, but it's about my wife. So we at one point, we were looking for, how we can grow our income and how we can do a couple more things, with ourselves in that sense. In other words, what can we do differently? So one of the things we weren't really, really comfortable with was getting a second job, because we didn't want to work we didn't want to work many jobs, like two or three jobs and that kind of thing, because we have kids to take care of. We have a house to look after. The kids are relatively young. And, we just want to have that whole family time. But one day, as we were praying about this, the Lord impressed upon us to get a second job. So some time back, my wife, put in her paperwork to one of these agencies. And they agreed to take her on. So they took her on and they connected her to a family, to a house, a relatively aged couple, kind of like they had retired and they weren't working. So I said, okay, fine, it's not something, because God had really made it clear that, okay, fine, you take up this job. So she started working the job. Worked there for a couple of months, worked there for a couple of weeks, a couple of days, and every day she would go in. Every day she would go in. So the main person who used to really be taken care of was the wife, and the husband was really old, so he couldn't do much. So my wife would help out his wife and care for her and watch over her. And then so as she was there, all she would do is just sit down and read the Bible. And read the Bible. Not saying much, doing what she needs to do, but really just going through her Bible. So along the process, one of the days, the husband, spoke to her and said, I discern that you are, you know, you're a Christian and you're a good person. As you go to my wife, could you just always just be there reading the Bible for her? Reading the Bible for her, you know. It's not something that they used to do a lot in their lives, and it's not something that they were familiar with. Because they say they used to be Christian, but they had moved away from the faith of God, and they had come to this place where they were basically like atheists. And throughout this period of time, as she continued reading the Bible for them, you know, they would come around. So the husband would sit in the room, and the wife would also sit in the room, and she would read the Bible for them. She would tell them about Jesus. She would tell them about what needs to be done. And, you know, in the process, there was quite a number of things in the house that the Lord always impressed upon her to always ask them about their lives. For instance, where did you get this book? Where did you get this mask? Where did you get these things? And in the process, they had filled their house with so many things, which for all purposes and intents were idolatrous. And my wife would always ask the Lord and would come home and would pray about it and would say, why have you taken us to a place which is so full of so many things that are not glorifying the Lord, that are not, that you know, that are for all purposes and intents idolatrous. They are full of idols, from necklaces to, you know, maybe I picked this from here and there. I picked this from here and here. So slowly by slowly, as she began reading the Bible for them, I think they became aware of the need to, you know, come back to Christ, the need to remove certain things without necessarily telling them. And they began packing up a number of those things out of their house, you know, taking them out, putting them into storage, removing them, being more deliberate to find time as husband and wife in their age to read the Bible, because she was now almost like bedridden, couldn't do much. Husband was also relatively old, but slowly by slowly, in his moments when my wife would leave, he would clear out the house, clear out the room of things like that, without necessarily us telling them about them, or my wife telling them about those things. Continued, and eventually, of course, we got to the point where we had to leave the job, because the Lord after that told us that, you know, my assignment here for you was specifically to show you that I can take you anywhere and I will provide for you. And it's not necessarily that it's not necessarily the case that when I take you here, you're going to do this, this, and the other, but I just want you to be obedient to me. So when that time came and the Lord told us to move and leave the house for them, we, of course, prayed about it, blessed them, blessed the husband, talked to them, told them about Christ. Yeah, and left the house. You know, throughout all that time, I came to realize a couple of things. One, of course, that God will always take you to places where you are extremely inconvenienced. But for the purposes of Him specifically speaking His word to people and returning them to Christ and guiding them, it's not necessarily that, you know, there will be, and He's quite certain wherever He will take you, He'll provide for you. And so we terminated the job, and then he told us after that, no, I want you to just stick to what I'm telling you to do from now onwards. Left the job. The family have become friends with us. They call in, they check in, they ask, could you still come back? We say, no, we cannot come back, but we can always minister to you. We can always talk to you about the word of the Lord. We can always do this. The agency keeps saying, we want you guys to come back. We want you to come and help out. We want you to come and guide. But that's not what the Lord has specifically called us. He called us there for a mission, you know, to go plant a seed and believe and trust that come a certain time, come a certain season, you know, He will use whomever He will use to take them, to take us wherever He wants to take us, to do His will, for whatever purposes and whatever will he wants to accomplish in that specific house or in that specific situation. Amen. And thank you, Nicole.
Thank you. Yes, you are correct. Amen. That is it. That is it. And, you know, it was the same thing with my mom because she wanted that job, but the job was really to go and save those people. That was it. 1 week she was in and to close the facility. That was the job, really. And it closed. She got a job after that, paying her twice of what she was making before. But it was just, as you say, it's very uncomfortable and inconvenient. But his will prevails. There is a reason. And you guys were there to get those people back to the Lord and to clean their house out. Praise God. All right. What about Raquel? Raquel, would you like to share a testimony?
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I was thinking about which one I'm going to talk about reminding, because just my iPad, when I have everything, collapse, kind of. Well, I was reminding when I was in the United States. Well, good night to everyone. God bless you all. And we used to have in the morning, very early in the morning, a prayer line. We were praying together, a few of Christians. And during that time, one of the person who was in the prayer line, she was working in a hospice. And she was participating in the prayer line, but she was only hearing because she was attending in that hours. She was working. And one day while we were praying, she asked, and she was saying that in the place was a lady that she would like that we pray for her. And because she couldn't talk to her too much because she was from Central America and she only speaks Spanish. And she wanted that she pray for her, but she couldn't because she couldn't, well, she was praying for her, but she doesn't speak Spanish. And in the group, I was the one, prayer line, that speaks Spanish. And she was saying that in order that if I can pray for her. And that was so amazing because in that moment, well, you say, okay. But and some of the person, I think almost all, were telling to me, okay, share the gospel with her. And in my heart, it was beautiful because in my heart, this is what I perceived from God in that moment to pray, to share with her the gospel. And I pray with her, I was praying for her, for many other things, and we shared the gospel. And that was beautiful. And well, that ended like 3 or 4 days later, I called the lady who works in this place, because I wanted, well, not her, the niece, and I wanted to visit the lady. This place was situated in a city closer that where I was living, and I went to visit her, and it was so beautiful because I knew when I get there that she was feeling better. She was feeling better. She was there with her daughters from Central America. I remember maybe it was Nicaragua. And they were so happy. They were making plans to come back to their country all together with her mom. And well, they were so happy. And well, we were talking, we were talking about Jesus Christ. And well, it was so beautiful. And it was so, well, it was a beautiful meeting there. We felt the love of God that even I didn't know him before, and they didn't know me. That was like we were, you know, being together for many years. It was beautiful. And well, then after a week or something like this, I knew from this person who works there that she passed away. And but it was beautiful because that was the opportunity to someone, well, could receive Christ, and that made the difference. When I visit her, the nurse told me about how changed she was. At the beginning, she was afraid and sad and crying, but after that, she changed. She was happy. She was enjoying, and she was in peace. And this is what the Lord, this is what he does. He, when he come to live in each one of us, the peace of him and the assurance that whatever happened, we are with him forever. Amen. This is a testimony.
Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. How about Carmina? Carmina, you want to share one with us?
Yes, I'll share.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. I want to share a testimony like how my mother-in-law got her deliverance. Okay. My mother-in-law was not keeping well. She was acting very strange, like a possessed person. So all her children, that is my husband, his brother and sister, they went to Goa, our hometown, to see her. And I was in Bombay. They took her in many places where they got her prayed over, but nothing worked. So I told my husband to get her and come to Bombay. During that time when they were in Goa, I was just led by the Lord to fast for, say, almost a week. And I didn't even know why I was fasting. I was new also in the Lord that day. But I was fasting and praying. So when she came, I booked an appointment with our prayer leader. He had the deliverance ministry. And we got her prayed over in Bombay. And she said she felt nice, but was not delivered completely. Then I told my family that we will hold hands and pray together with her at home as a family. We were like me, my husband, my brother-in-law, along with her. So we were just praying, praising the Lord with simple prayers, all of us together, like calling the name of Jesus, 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 later. Then saying, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. And I asked my mother-in-law also to praise the Lord along with us, and she did. And as she was praising, she was getting her own deliverance. She started telling us, I feel like vomiting and I want to vomit a lot, but it's not coming out. So we were just praising. And as we were praising, she was running inside and vomiting. She was feeling like she was vomiting a lot, but she was vomiting very little, but that little had a horrible stench. And that way, by vomiting every time as we were praying in the house, she got her deliverance. And the Lord delivered her completely at home. Then after a few days, after all this got over, one day, as soon as I entered the office, my friend Bonnie, she's here. She told me, see what scripture I got today. She was reading the Bible and just wanted to share with me the scripture which she got for herself. It was the one about Jesus healing the mute boy who had the spirit and the disciples could not cast it out. So they asked Jesus, why could not we cast it out? And Jesus answered them saying, this kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And at that very moment, as I read it, this kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting, I knew it, that the Lord was telling me why I was led to fast. And I thank and praise God for what He has done for my mother-in-law. That's my testimony.
Amen. Amen. God is so good. He shows us how to do it, doesn't He? Praise the Lord. Okay. What about Karen? Karen, you have a testimony you want to share with us?
Hi.
Hi.
I just walked downstairs and I'm almost a blank. I'm thinking, what am I gonna say? I hope she doesn't ask me now.
Come on.
Because I was sitting thinking, what should I say? There's just so many.
You have too many. That's the problem. That's why you can't think of one, because there's so many. They're piled on top of each other. You have to peel them off like layers. Separate them.
So maybe I'll just give one or two.
Okay.
So I volunteer at my church. So we go to this place, informal settlement, every Friday morning, and we take food parcels and then we pray for people. So just about a month ago, one of the guys, it's very dirty there, so he started to clean up. And we have here in South Africa, we have the guys that collects the rubbish and they recycle, and it's wonderful. So he does that in the squatter camp. And he came and he said, my back is sore, so can we pray for his back? So we prayed for his back, and we said, so we have a thing at our church. If it doesn't go the first time, you pray a second time. So it's based on what Jesus did with a man who couldn't see well, and Jesus laid hands on him a second time. So we laid hands on him a second time, we prayed. And he felt, and it was completely gone. So the next week he comes back again, and he says, oh, my knee is sore. So we pray for the knee, and it doesn't go. And the person that's praying with me says, okay, we're going to continue to pray for you. So I said, no, stay. And I started taking my authority, and I commanded it gone. And he looked, he said, it's gone. So there's a lot of them, and the one lady had arthritis as well. So we prayed for her, and then they healed, but they are so shocked when they are healed. Like, where is it? It was here now, but it's not there anymore. So it's just wonderful how God answers prayers there, healing prayers.
All right, now I'm going to ask you to pray for healing of whoever is listening here. Just a general healing prayer.
A healing prayer. Just, Father, I just lift each and every one that is under the sound of my voice, that has got some affliction. Father, we know that you are the God that came to heal us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you never turned anyone away. And you said we have authority over every living thing. And sickness is a living thing. So we speak to sickness and we command it to cease from operating in the people's lives in Jesus. Now, my curse here at the root, whatever pain it is, whatever tumors it is, which is not from God, I curse it at the roots. I command it to wither up and dry in Jesus' name. I speak life and life abundantly into every person's bodies in Jesus' name. I command your bodies to operate in the perfection which God created it to function. So, Father, I just ask for your rivers of living water to flow through them right now so that they heal from the top of the head to the soles of their feet. Lord, thank you that you restore what needs to be restored, replace what needs to be replaced, repair what needs to be repaired. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you. Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, yes. All right. Glory, do you have a testimony for us you want to share with us?
Yes, I have lots of them. Yeah. Let me just do a short one.
Okay.
This one is about my husband. I think, remember when I told you that you have to pray for my husband, he wasn't feeling okay. Then I had to phone my brother because he's the only one whom he likes to pray for him, even though he hasn't received Jesus Christ yet. So my brother prayed for him. And my brother in South Africa, so he prayed for him on the phone. And when he prayed for him the next morning, he started feeling okay. And after that, he told me that he had a dream. That there was something which was sitting on top of him and just disappeared. He felt something which came out of him. So the next day again, we had to go to the doctor for the review and for him to have some a drip for the infection which was happening inside his body. So he got the drip, diclofenac, and then something, I can't remember the name of the other injection which they did on him. So his BP, he has been having this BP, I think from the day he was born. So he says it's a hereditary one from his mother. But when his BP was checked, it was normal. Every time we go for his BP to be checked, the BP was always higher, 94 below. It was never in 85, 84. So now I said, what is happening? And he couldn't believe it. He said, you should check again. He told the nurses at the 24-hour clinic that he should check again because this is not my BP. My BP is always 94, 95, and it was 84. They checked thrice and it was 84. Then we came back home. I think he was still doubting that the prayer which he was prayed for, that BP was was taken out of him because it was like a demonic BP because of where it came from. So we had to take him his BP here at home. It was still 84. And yesterday we checked his BP, it was 84 again. Yeah, so It's like somebody who doesn't believe, you know, that God can do these miracles just said, ah, I think it's because they changed my BP pills. So I think this medication which they've given me this time around, it's working. But I know that it was an intervention. It was the grace of God. His BP is now normal. So I thank God for that.
Amen. Amen and amen. Yes. Okay. This has been wonderful. Lots of healing testimonies today, Lord. We praise you, we honor you, we glorify you, we thank you for being the healer in our lives, Lord. We thank you for being the God who delivers, because you have delivered. You have delivered us in so many ways. Thank you for the beautiful testimonies. And we just thank you, Lord, that we're here to share it and talk about it and celebrate it and celebrate you in all of this. Lord, just receive our hearts filled with gratitude, thanksgiving, praise. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okie dokie.
Amen.
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 Same time tomorrow. And if any Amen. One of you listening have a testimony you want to share, Amen. Please send an email and we will schedule you to share your testimony. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
All right, guys. I'll hear you tomorrow. Tomorrow.
The rest of your evenings and mornings and days.
Good morning.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless you all.
Bless you all.
Bye.